children are dismissed to junior church. Okay, I am a church member. That's the title I gave this talk. How many of you are familiar with AA? You've heard of it? Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm not asking, have you been? Just, have you heard of it? Okay. AA has been such a successful program in the lives of so many people. And part of that is because there's no judgment there. There's encouragement. There's people that are standing with you who have been through the same kinds of things that you're going through. Scripture tells us that in Philippians 2:12, we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean work for your salvation, that's by grace. But work it out, the life that you're living here on this earth. And we work out our relationships with each other here in the church. So one of the things that they do in AA is have people hold hands, grab the hand of somebody next to you. We're not going to all join in a big circle. Just take somebody's hand. And one of the things they say is it works if you work it. I've not been to a meeting, but apparently they say that at the end. They take hands and they say it works if you work it, which is a reminder that it's something you have to continually work on. And I think church membership is very similar to AA in a lot of ways. Our first slide, we made a commitment to each other. We've made a commitment in marriage to our marriage partner. We've made a commitment to this church. If you're a member of this church, it's a commitment. And a commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you said it in has left you. Now, we know that's true in marriage, and it's true in church membership. Commitment is staying loyal to what you said you're going to do long after the mood has left you. Are you committed to Jesus Christ and His body, the church, that meets on this corner of the street in Almont? Let's bow our heads once again and just quietly take 5 seconds and ask the Lord to help you renew your commitment to Him and His church. Okay. In the New Testament, there's a word in the Greek, ekklesia, and it's translated church, and it means a called out group or assembly. It's applied to Christians. The church means those who have been called out to Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it mostly means a local congregation of Christians, and it never means a building. Although we often speak of these congregations collectively as the New Testament church, or the early church, no New Testament writer ever uses ecclesia in that way. The term is also applied to the universal church, the body of Christ. God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Ephesians 1:22 to 23. So, it is used for both the local body of believers and the entire worldwide body of believers. Look at somebody next to you and say, we are his church. We are his church. When we think of the activities at church, we tend to think only of what goes on within the four walls of the building, rather than what takes place in the entire world through what believers say, do, and are. And this is a problem. Members of the church are to have an intimate relationship with each other as well as the body of Christ. We are part of His body. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. 1 Corinthians 12. Did you guys get a handout in your bulletin? No? Okay. She ran them off. I don't know where they went. There is no place in the Bible where you're told to do whatever you want, to do whatever is good for you, good for your family, good for doing your own thing. We are told to look to the needs of one another. We don't come to the church to get something out of it, or to be entertained, or to make friends. These things will happen naturally. We do come to worship together, to learn godliness, to grow in grace. Join a church to be a part of what God is doing there. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let's pray quickly. Father, we ask You to change our hearts, to cause us to love what You love and to hate the things that You hate. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3:15-17, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. 1 Peter 2. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. There's a book that Keith loaned me that had some good information on church membership, and the name of the book is I Am a Church Member, Discovering the Attitudes That Make a Difference by Tom Rainier. And this is a quote from him. Church members need to look in the mirror. Congregations are weak because many of us church members have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We go to Dr. Noffert. He's a dentist in Emily City. Gone to him for years. And when you get in the chair, when the girl first brings you back, she hands you a laminated pad that's called the comfort menu. And we can sit down and you can choose. Would you like a warm blanket? Would you like a certain flavor of tooth polish? They've got sunglasses available, and you can pick what shade of lens is on the sunglasses. There's a music choice. There's a television. They'll set it to whatever channel you like, etc. And it's called the comfort menu. Many of us, when we join our churches, we're expecting others to serve us, to feed us, to care for us. God did not give us local churches to become country clubs where membership means you have privileges and perks. He placed us in the church to serve, to care for others, to pray for the leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases even to die for the gospel. We have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are giving up their lives because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It is time to become a church member as God intended. It's time to give instead of feeling entitled. So what does membership mean? Membership means we are all a necessary part of the whole. And I think we don't need to lose sight of the fact that our whole is not only right here, but our whole is the world. So we are all necessary parts of the whole. We are different, but we are still working together. Each has their own gifts. Each is working out their Christian life as the Spirit has given them. Everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Church membership is functioning membership. Take 5-10 seconds right now and ask God to show you how He wants you to be a functioning member using your gifts and talents that He has given you for the kingdom. Father, make us functioning members. In Jesus' name, amen. God desires for Christians to get along. Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is a commandment. This thing called unity is very, very important. Walk worthy of the calling you have received with all humility, gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. You have a responsibility as a church member to be a source of unity and never a force of division. Let's pray once more. Ask God to show you if there's any area in your life where you have not been a source of unity, and confess that to Him now. Amen. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Mark 9:35. So let's talk about that. The servant motif is very prevalent in Scripture. The word servant occurs 57 times in the New Testament, and serve occurs 58 times. Many of these times it refers to the role that we are to assume as Christians. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you must be the servant of all. Paul said, "I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of His power." So servanthood is a gift. It goes against popular culture to think of servanthood as being a gift. This gift was given by God's power. It is a powerful gift. Tim Hawkins is a Christian comedian, and he has lots of spoofs on church life. And he said, if somebody comes up to you and says, "You have a servant's heart," that means they want you to set up chairs. It's so much more than that. To have a servant's heart is to look to somebody else's well-being and to do what is necessary for them to succeed. And that is a gift from God. So, ouch. It's not about my preferences and my desires anymore. It's about what's good for the body. Abba, Father, teach us to serve. Tom Rainer belongs to an organization that conducts surveys of churches around the country and from various denominations to find out what's going on, what worked, what doesn't work, what's changing. The council and the deacons, I don't know about the trustees, we all read a book by him this over the winter called Simple Church. This is from another of his things. They did a survey of the 10 dominant behavior patterns of inwardly focused churches. And these were the top 10 things that churches who tend to think of themselves and just themselves and not beyond that. These are problems they have. The number one thing was worship wars. What kind of music are we going to sing? Who's going to play it? Where's it going to come from? Is it going to be country or rock or hymns or whatever? They call them worship wars. I'm sorry that there even is a term like that. Prolonged minutia meetings. You go to meetings and they just go on and everybody, kind of micromanaging. Facility focused. If the focus is just on the building, then there's a problem. An inwardly focused budget. Look at the budget that the church has. And we're going to be presenting a budget real soon at the annual meeting. Does that budget focus on just this place on this corner? Or does it reflect our desire to minister in the community, to evangelize, to support missions, and to have the different ministry functions go outside of just our little group of friends. Inordinate demands on pastoral care. The pastor needs to do this. The pastor needs to do that. The pastor, pastor, pastor. That will exhaust a pastor. We all know that. There's very few things in Scripture that say this is the pastor's job. There are lots of places where it says this is the Christian's job. You get that? It's not the pastor's job to go see me in the hospital when I'm sick. Although Keith did come to see me Thursday. It was real nice. But he's not the pastor anymore. He just came because he's a caring friend. It's the pastor's job to serve communion. No, it isn't. The Bible does not say that. Believers participate in the table of the Lord together. It's not the pastor's job to run the office. It's not the pastor's job to do all these different things. It's Christians' jobs to evangelize. It's Christians' jobs to take care of the sick, to visit the hurting, to take care of the poor. Inwardly focused church tend to have an attitude of entitlement. I'm a member, so I get a discount on funeral services. I don't know. A greater concern about change than about the gospel. When people, well, we've never done it like that. The concern tends to be about not wanting anything to ever change and not what would make us a more influential force for evangelism and the gospel. Anger and hostility. When we meet together, there should not be anger and hostility. We should be able to work out our differences. We should be able to let the Holy Spirit lead us into what is right. And an evangelical apathy. If somebody asks you, is evangelism important? I think all of us would say, yeah, it is. But what are we doing about it? And if you give lip service, yes, it's important, but you're not doing anything about it, then he's suggesting here that you may be apathetic to this. Philippians 2:5-11, God gives us a way to become Christ-like, and by becoming Christ-like, we become the Christian church members we're supposed to be. He gave us the mind of Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians, but I'm not going to give you that verse. Make your own attitude that of Jesus Christ. He did not consider equality with God to be something to be used for his own advantage. He emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. That was the mind of Christ, and that is to be our mindset. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. He had taken the disciples there after the Passover, and he was praying in the garden, and he knew he was about to die. And this is what he said, and I think it's very important. Usually a person's final words are very important. This was critical to him to get this message, to get this prayer to his Father. An important factor in the need for ministry is that unity is something Jesus wanted. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me because of their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, and let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. Now we know that God answers Jesus' prayers, right? Jesus prayed that we would be one, just like he and the Father are one. And that because of that complete unity, the world would know that God sent Jesus and that he loves us just like he loves Jesus. You are worth Jesus to God. Do you hear that? You are worth Jesus to God, our Father. He was willing to pay Jesus to buy you. You have great value and worth, not because you're just a cool person, but because God was willing to pay Christ to purchase you. Bow your heads. Father, give us the unity that Jesus asked for, so that the world will know that you sent him. Amen. So, as church members, what are we supposed to be doing? We love to do things. Give us a job, we'll do it. Pray. Pray for the pastor. Say, Llewellyn, we don't have a pastor right now. God knows who our pastor is going to be, and we need to be praying for that person. Some of us have felt that maybe the pastor we had, we didn't pray enough for. It's not too late. Pray for him now. Pray for the church leaders. Pray for the people who are on council. Pray for the deacons and the trustees and the Christian Ed Board. Pray for the hospitality committee. That's really an important thing to have you know, we think it's not a big deal sometimes to have coffee and cookies after church, but that's where you get more acquainted with each other, and that's where visitors are made to feel more welcome. Pray for the preaching and teaching, for wisdom and insight and effective words. Pray for the families of servants and leaders. Pray for the protection from temptation, discouragement, and fault finding. For physical and mental health, and for the peace of God. So let that be our desire, that we will pray for our church leaders. Have you been faithful in prayer? I'm going to give you a chance now to ask for forgiveness and to start correcting this problem with more prayer. Take a minute right now and pray for your church leaders. You can do this in little groups if you want, or you can just pray by yourself. Pray for your church leaders, past, present, and future. Anybody that comes to your heart, I'll give you just a few minutes, or not a few minutes, but 20 seconds to pray for the leadership of the church and to the pastor. Amen. It is no surprise that Scripture teaches family as analogous to the church. You can look up the verses in Ephesians later. There is a handout someplace. I think it's probably in the back. Take one when you go out. You can look up all these verses. Paul said, "This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and his church." It's the husbands love your wives, and wives respect your husbands and submit to them, and children love your parents and obey them, and all of that section. And Paul comes out and says, our family situations is the mystery of Christ and his church. Pray together as a family for the church. Are you teaching your children to be good church members? Worship together as a family. Fall in love with the bride of Christ. Be an example of grace and unconditional love through service. This does not exclude single people. Single people, listen. Because you are a part of this family. And so if you have a family at home that you live with, that works as Christ and his church, an example. But also, if you're single, you have somebody you probably live with, or if you live alone, you have an extended family, and you all have this family sitting in here on these chairs. So it doesn't leave out anybody. Too many times the church has become something we do rather than who we are. Let me say that again. Too many times the church has become something we do. If there isn't something better that is more important to us than who we are. Our commitment is to Jesus Christ. And in our commitment to Christ, we're asked to be committed to his church. And too many times we let everything else get in the way. Last slide. When we received the gift of salvation, we become part of the body of Christ. See it? Salvation is a gift. Membership in the body of Christ is a gift. It is not a legalistic obligation. It's not a license for entitlement. It is a gift from God that we should treasure with great joy and anticipation. Were you anticipating good things when you came to church this morning? Were you anticipating getting to meet with God and His family and to learn from Him? He has given us a blessing of belonging. We're never alone. We can share that gift with each other. So enjoy it. Take someone's hand and say, "It works if you work it." Try it again. "It works if you work it." Heavenly Father, we treasure your gifts. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for our church. Cause us to rejoice in your Holy Spirit for the great gift of salvation and of each other. Amen.